and welcome to the It Depends podcast. My name is Kevin Goldsmith. I am your host. I am also the author of It Depends, Writing on Technology Leadership from 2012 to 2022. And I'm delighted we're now at episode 7. And like our last episode, this one is going to be a twofer. Again, as the last episode, we have two chapters. One is a little bit shorter, so I thought I'd throw it in. So I'll talk about both those chapters in a minute and give you a bit of an introduction. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, we are serializing the audiobook of It Depends. If you would rather listen to the entire audiobook in one go, it's available. It's available on Audible. It's available on Spotify. It's available wherever you get your audiobooks. If you prefer to read with your eyes instead of your ears, same thing. The book, the print book, is available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, on bookshop.org, on bookstores around the world. The print book is available everywhere. The ebook is available as well. If that is how you prefer to get your knowledge, please feel free to pick it up. And if you do, please rate it and review it. As always, if you have questions, I'm very happy to answer them. I haven't gotten one for a little while. I like answering your questions. Please send them to me, contact@itdependsbook.net. If you'd like a signed copy, you'd like to purchase a signed copy, you can email me at that address as well. If you want more information about the book, it is at itdependsbook.net. It Depends Book, all one word. We have two chapters for you today. One is How I Get My Focus Work Done, and the next chapter is Known Unknowns. I will tell you about the chapter, How I Get My Focus Work Done, play that for you, and then talk about the next chapter and play that for you. So a few things, detail about this chapter. I wrote this when I was still working from an office, as most of us were. So it's coming to you from that perspective. So you hear me talking about going to third locations to do your work, your sort of focused work, or finding a different place in your office away from people. Clearly, for those of you like myself that have been working from home since the pandemic, obviously it's a little bit different now. It's not about being isolated to get your focus work done, but I will still get to a third place sometimes when I want to get my focus work done. Not only because I want to avoid, you know, the dog or interruptions from packages being delivered or things like that. It also takes me out of my routine. It puts me in a different headspace where I just have the work I'm trying to do in a different environment. Sometimes it's a library. Sometimes it's a cafe. Sometimes it's even like a WeWork or something like that. Just taking myself to a different location where I can really get focused on the project I'm working on. Sometimes it is just when the weather's nice, going outside, sitting down there, just getting away from my desk and all the tchotchkes and all the other work that's within my eyesight, and just having that kind of break from where I normally do work so I can really focus on a project. That's worked pretty well for me since I've switched to working from home. And maybe that might work for you as well. Similarly, I talk about blocking out your calendar. Depending on how you work in distributed teams, that may not be as necessary. For today, in my current company, I tend to start my day a little bit earlier because I start my morning talking to folks in Europe and then talking to folks on the East Coast. And that's kind of common in my company. So I actually end up with my afternoons being fairly quiet. And so I've found I've been able to get a lot of more focused work done without having to block it out. But also, the company I'm in now has been distributed since day one. And because of that, we actually don't have as many meetings. My calendar isn't as full. We've gotten much better at communicating asynchronously because we've had to. We've always been a globally distributed company. And because of that, I get a lot more time to do my focus work. So this I don't have to do some of these hacks that I've used to do anymore. But when there's a big project coming up or a big project I need to focus on, I still will do this. And I'll still block out a whole day to just really focus on it and just no interruptions. Another great place to get work done for myself, maybe not for you, but this works great for me, planes or trains. When I used to live in Sweden and I had to travel a lot between Stockholm and Gothenburg, and I would take the train, that to me was just amazingly great time to get work done. And I would get a tremendous amount of work done on that train. And even though I could have connection, a lot of times I would actually work without Wi-Fi and without a connection, because that helped me just reduce distractions. Planes, I get a lot of work done on planes. I'm also a person who can't sleep on planes. If you can sleep on planes, do that. For me, if I have to travel to Europe, that is like 9 uninterrupted hours of work time for me, because it is very focused, it is very quiet, and I can just get a lot of stuff done. So sometimes I will save things up for that. That may not be how you work. That is how I work. So this chapter is also, you know, we've heard the personal offsite chapter. We've heard the own your calendar chapter at this point. This one is very much a follow on from them. These weren't written in order. These weren't written in the order they're presented in the book. I've obviously sequenced them in the book because they follow from one another. But you'll hear me refer to things I refer to in those chapters. Another thing I talk about is cleaning your desk. This is something that is another thing that helps me a lot, because we are on video these days and I am not necessarily the best at cleaning my desk. I know what the camera can see and I know what the camera can't see. And I can tell you that at times you would not imagine the piles of things that are on my desk in front of me that you can't see on the camera. You can't see when I'm in meetings, but I can see all the time. Another thing that really makes it difficult for me to concentrate sometimes, not just because I don't have a place to write notes or things like that, because there's too much junk on my desk, but just the junk itself becomes a real distraction. It makes it harder for me to focus. So that is something I absolutely will do from time to time, especially if I need to work on a project. I will take the time it takes to actually go and clean off my desk and put everything away where it needs to be, or whatever I need to do. So I have a clean work surface, and it just helps me focus. So without further ado, here is how I get my focus work done. How I get my focused work done. Originally published on May 31st, 2018. In management, we can become very interrupt-driven. We get so used to distractions that we count on them. This dependency can make it very hard to focus when we need to. My calendar fills up with meetings. My unscheduled time is full of people stopping by to ask questions or chat. If I'm not careful, I will find myself doing a lot of work at night. I've tried many ways to improve my focus time over the years. Here are the things that work best for me. Defrag your calendar. Every 6 months, I review my schedule. Recurring meetings tend to accumulate over time. This periodic review makes it easier to identify meetings that are no longer necessary. I will also try to reschedule my recurring meetings so that they group into blocks. Those 30 minutes or an hour between meetings are a waste of time. It isn't enough time to work on anything significant. Grouping my meetings gives me larger blocks of time that I can use for focused work. Block out your focused and loosely structured time. Now that your calendar has larger blocks of time, add recurring calendar entries to protect parts of your week for focused work. I need at least 2 hours to engage in a task, so I don't block out less than that. Ideally, I will block out more. Putting it on the calendar discourages other people from scheduling you at that time. Likewise, I also block out time for unstructured work, like reading emails. Reading emails or returning phone calls works well in those one-hour blocks between meetings. Having dedicated unstructured time also means less temptation to do unstructured work in my focused blocks. Make sure you leave some gaps in your schedule to allow folks to add in a meeting if needed. I made the mistake of filling my calendar almost entirely for a while. As a result, people started to ignore my free busy time because they couldn't find any empty meeting slots. Set out a Do Not Disturb flag. In an open plan environment, create a sign so people know not to disturb you. I have a weird lamp on my desk. People know that I'm trying to concentrate when the light is on. For the most part, they will let me focus. When I worked in an office, I would put a post-it on my door with a note asking people to send an email unless it was urgent. Get out of the building. Sometimes to focus, you need to go elsewhere. For example, I will sometimes go to a nearby cafe, co-working space, or a library if I need a few uninterrupted hours. Turn off the notifications. There is a reason you see this advice shared often. I turn on Do Not Disturb on my computer and phone. I have a separate Chrome person with only the extensions I need for focused work and no notifications enabled. I quit all apps that are not the ones I need for my task. My phone goes into my pocket. I don't want any electronic distractions. If I must write something, I will sometimes do it longhand on paper first to eliminate distractions. Writing on paper works exceptionally well for me if it isn't a topic I am excited about but need to get done. Also, once I have the first draft on paper, it is much easier to edit and refine on the computer without being tempted to do something else. Set a goal and reward yourself. We are so unfocused these days that gamifying your focused work may help. For example, when I finish the first draft of this post, I will spend 10 minutes on Twitter to reward myself for getting it done without interruptions. Set aside a whole day for your focused work. It is sometimes challenging for a manager to have an entire day clear. If I have something vital to do, especially something time sensitive, I will clear the whole day to focus on it. Usually, I will get out of the building to avoid other work distractions. I give myself a one-person offsite to get something done. I turn on my out-of-office email responder with a note letting people know that I'm working offsite and asking them not to disturb me unless it is critical. I will also schedule these focus days up to a quarter in advance to ensure that I have them in case I want to use them. Clean your desk. Cleaning the clutter in your eyeline is also very common and helpful advice. These things accumulate on my desk: mail, tchotchkes, magazines, books. When you are trying to focus, they can be distractions, or the general clutter can be a distraction. You don't need to clean your desk thoroughly. You just don't need to see that stuff. Put it all somewhere you can't see when trying to focus. Clean your computer desktop. Just like your physical environment can be a distraction, the virtual one can be too. All those files on your desktop are like an extensive to-do list of fun things instead of the work you need to focus on. So, create a clutter folder and move everything into it. Create your focus playlist. Some people like to work in silence. I find that music helps me focus better, especially in busy environments. Different playlists help me focus on reading, programming, and writing. For reading, I like ambient music. For programming, it is post-rock and electronic music. When writing, I favor modern classical music. You may prefer silence, or music may help you. One important thing for me is that the music on my playlist is music I know well. Listening to new music can be too distracting for me in these situations. Start with a mindfulness exercise. Especially on my focus days, I like to start with a 10 or 20 minute mindfulness exercise to help me clear away the other things on my mind and help me focus on the task at hand. Make your exhaustive to-do list. One of the exercises I like from the Getting Things Done book by David Allen is exhaustively writing down everything you need to do. It is very freeing for me. I find that if I need to remember to do something, it will nag at me the whole time I'm trying to focus. So if I write it down on paper or in a to-do app, it helps me put it aside for a while so I can concentrate. This next chapter is a very short chapter, and it's a weird one. I admit that fully. This chapter is about the known unknowns. For those of you who don't recognize the phrase, it comes from a quote, a very famous quote now, from Donald Rumsfeld, someone who I do not tend to look up to or look to for wisdom, not somebody who politically I agree with very much, but even people you disagree with, you can learn from sometimes. And he has this quote that you will hear at the beginning of the chapter, which I refer to all the time, because he does a great job differentiating between various levels of knowledge. And this is something we encounter all the time in our work. What do we know? What do we not know? What do we need to know? What are we missing to make a decision? What are we missing to get confident in the decision that we've already made? And so I refer to this quote a lot, more than I would like to because of its provenance. But, you know, sometimes people, like I said, sometimes people you disagree with say things you can learn from. Another thing you'll hear in this chapter, again, very short, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time talking about it, is this idea of understanding what you know and understanding what you don't know. And this happens a lot. You may have heard of Shuhari, a path to mastery. It's commonly used in agile circles, agile coaching circles. Obviously, it's used in other places. It's a Japanese phrase, but it's about this idea that you start learning a new skill, you don't know much about it, then you become maybe even overconfident as you get more comfortable. And as you become very knowledgeable, very skilled, you start to understand how much you don't know. And it's that path. And I see this happen over and over and over again, including, you know, clearly in my own development, where I was a novice and just learning my skills in whatever, programming or architecture or management. Then I started feeling really comfortable and maybe a little bit overconfident. I thought I knew more than I did. I thought I was really an expert now. And then as I continued to learn, I started to realize all the things I don't know and all the things I needed to learn. And it makes you not only humble, it makes you a better leader, because it also makes you understand how much more development you need to do, which hopefully should be inspiring you to then reach out and try and grow. So it's this growth path, and that's really why I talk about it. But of course, I talk about it in the context of this Donald Rumsfeld quote. So here is that chapter. Again, very short. I'll be talking to you again in just a moment. The Known Unknowns, originally published on March 9, 2014. There are known knowns. These are the things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we now know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things we do not know we don't know. Donald Rumsfeld. Last week, I held a day of training for the managers and folks interested in becoming managers in my organization. I did this with some of the folks from Spotify's Excellent People Operations team, Paolo Barolin Echevera and Mats Olden. As part of the exercises, we identified which management skills, values, and responsibilities were the most critical for our organization. We then did something like a spider map to help us evaluate our competencies in these areas and set goals on how we'd like to improve over the next few months. The exercises were fantastic, and they identified some genuinely great qualities of managers and leaders that I hadn't considered. I'll try and write about them in the future. One thing that struck me as I did this self-assessment was how low I rated myself in some areas. Areas that my managers had told me that I was strong in. I rated myself low in spaces that I would even call my strengths. The reason was that I'd come to realize how much better I could be than I am right now. I knew how much more I had to learn. My known unknowns. I had noticed this before in other areas. For years, when I interviewed C++ developers, one of my favorite questions was, how do you rate your C++ skill on a scale from 1 to 10? Sometimes I'd add the context of 1 is your dog and 10 is Bjarne Stroustrup. I was looking for not an assessment of what they knew, but an understanding of what they didn't know, the known unknowns. I wrote C++ code professionally every day for over 15 years, and I would have rated myself a 7, and that was before C++ 11 came out. Anyone who rated themselves higher than that either was just not being honest, it is an interview situation after all, or they knew so little of the language that they didn't even have a clue how inexperienced they were. I now realize that this is just part of mastery. You reach a plateau in your growth, and it seems like you are getting pretty good, but then you grow a little bit more and realize there is so much more to learn, ad infinitum. I hope you enjoyed those two chapters from the book. If this podcast is valuable to you, please share it. Please help me get the word out and let people know about it. You can send people to itdependsbook.net for more information, for links to this podcast on all the different platforms, for links to the book, for links to the newsletter. Again, if you are new to the podcast, the podcast comes out every other week. In the intervening weeks is a newsletter. And that newsletter is also serializing the book. That newsletter serializes the book out of order. And it doesn't go into as much depth as this because I try and keep it light. I don't like reading super long newsletters. So it is really just a chapter and maybe just a little bit of text around it. I go into much more details here in the podcast because it's easier to talk than to write for me. Again, if you enjoyed it, please rate the podcast, please share the podcast, please send people to the newsletter, please send people to the book. Thank you so much. I'll see you again in 2 weeks on the podcast. I'll see you next week in the newsletter. Thanks so much for listening. Please, again, subscribe, rate, share episodes of this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Thanks again. I'll see you soon. Thanks to Answers Staple for the music in this podcast. This podcast is a production of Unit Circle Media.